4 is a rezoning at 100 Maryland Street under file DAZ 236 of 2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely, item 5, a variance at 100 Maryland Street under file DAV 172529 of 2014-D.
Thank you very much. And if the Michael Robinson would like to
just give a very brief overview. This is a rezoning and variances at the corner of Westminster and Maryland. It's a proposal to demolish an existing home and replace it with an 11-unit, four-story apartment building. The rezoning is required because of density, and there are some variances that go with it, primarily for yards and for parking. The way that they're dealing with the shortage of parking is they are planning on providing a car share vehicle on the property and partnering with the Peg City Car Co-op. This Maryland is a mixed-use corridor, and Westminster and Maryland is a busy node. There's a grocery store at one corner, a church, and there's five transit routes at this location. And we're recommending approval.
Okay, thank you. We have the applicant, Lockwinder Kelsey. If you could come forward, please. Do you have a presentation to show us?
I do have something as well.
Okay, we'll help you get set up.
Although I think that Michael put it in pretty nicely there, pretty much what it is. There's, I got a USB, and I don't know if this laptop has the proper desk, right?
No. From the back there?
Does it?
No.
Sorry, but I... That's okay. I have some handouts if we can kind of get that out instead.
I don't think any of our other.
I did print out 6 handouts just in case this would happen.
Oh, so having some trouble with
first time, not the first time it's happened.
It's not the
I've
first
seen it happen before, yeah. So I said just in case. Right. Nowadays, laptops, they don't have all the different functions and stuff. So my name is Lakwinder, or Rocky, everyone says. My company is Ranjan Developments. I do a few developments around the city. So what we're proposing on Westminster and Maryland is an 11-unit. There's a grocery store across the street. The area is mixed use as it is. We have another project at 54 Maryland, which was successfully rezoned, and it came to the point that we're looking to start construction in spring or early summer. So we believe in the area. We want to support the area, and a lot of stuff that we do is very. We try to stick with the area design as well as trying to add some modern touches to it. So 54 Maryland's design. There's glass and wood exterior there on that building, and we're going to do something similar for 100 Maryland. We had an open house late last year, so we got a lot of feedback from a lot of Wolseley residents and West Broadway residents also. It was very nice. The main question that they had was with respect to parking specifically, and lucky for us, a parking study was completed earlier that same week, so we were able to determine that the Westminster and Maryland area is actually underutilized on street parking. In addition to that, we have off-street parking, which is 4 parking stalls on the property. 3 will be available for rent, and 1 is for the car share program. So we have the support of Peg City Car Co-op. We also have the support of the West Broadway Biz on this. It seems it's a pretty positive addition to the neighborhood overall, and everyone is excited about it, I think. We just have very preliminary drawings right now. We're not at the stage yet where we have engaged architects, but building design will be similar to what we're doing at 54 Maryland. So we're trying to, neighbors want to see an addition to Wolseley area, which is like more kind of natural materials. We're not going to be doing stucco type of thing, and we're not going to go ultra modern on this design. Well, we're kind of going in between the two. So. We did some research on the city, the area, and looking at complete communities, West Broadway housing, and the census and whatnot, and we kind of determined that our project does fit in Maryland specifically. There are a number of multifamily complexes on that street already that haven't been kind of updated or renovated and stuff and starting to show in the neighborhood. So this is a way to kind of add some newness. We are increasing density. That's the rezoning to RMFL. However, we understand also at the same time that family or unit house sizes have grown smaller. So in fact, the density is only increasing slightly as opposed to some major kind of drastic change in the neighborhood. I think that's about it. We found that we had the strong support from both Wolseley residents and West Broadway residents. Yep.
Do you have any questions?
So you mentioned you had support from the West Broadway Biz group.
Yeah.
Did you go over your plans with them? Did you have a meeting? Or?
I met with Leah, mm-hmm. and we went over, and she's aware of our 54 Maryland plan, too. So it sits on the west side of Maryland. So it's, although it's in the Wolseley area, West Broadway's mandate goes a little bit into Wolseley area,
yeah.
So it overlaps at that point, so I just made sure that I touched base and had the discussion with her about it, and one thing that she was wondering about was will we introduce a commercial unit on the main floor. We thought about that, and then we decided not to because commercial tends to bring more parking issues, and so one of the main concerns of the Wolseley residence was parking, so this way we're kind of mitigating that, and we're keeping it strictly residential.
So you met with the Wolseley Residents Association?
It wasn't the Wolseley Residents. It was just we had an open house, and we invited neighborhood individuals, and we were fortunate enough. I think I spent enough time talking and touching base with them that they were able to provide letters of support in the end, even though initially they came with a little bit of skepticism, naturally, that what's this new thing coming into our area, and is it something that's going to be positive or not?
Did you also speak with the West Broadway Community Organization?
No, I didn't. Not yet.
No.
But I have gone through their documentation for their housing plan and determined that it fits in with what they imagined for Maryland, especially.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No further questions? Oh.
Ask administration. Do I wait till?
Yeah, we can go through anybody in. We can go through the delegations first, and
okay.
Unless you. It's burning and you don't want to wait. Okay. Thank you. We'll call you back up following the other delegations. Is there anybody else here who wishes to speak in support of this application whose name has not been called, has not been up? Anybody else? Okay. In opposition, we have Georgine Palmquist and Jim Palmquist, but you can come together or separately. Yeah, she'll be speaking. Are you going to be speaking, Jim?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
He thinks I can do it.
I'm sure he's right.
Yeah, exactly.
We live at 48 Purcell, and thank you. The parking in the Wolseley area on Maryland, Westminster, Purcell, Dundurn is awful. Like you have the Misericordia parking on all the streets. Whenever there's any kind of thing happening at Westminster Church, there's no parking. And I know this because when you have the graduations, the wedding, people will park right at the stop sign because they're desperate. There's no parking on Westminster on an ordinary day. And so parking is really a great issue with the building. This, if you have, 11 cars, you're just adding to the huge parking problem in our area. And there is on Maryland, between Westminster and Wolseley, you have visitor parking for the hospital, and it's booked all the time. And I know that because I volunteer there, and I go there often. And so I think that this survey may have been done. He may have checked it, done some kind of survey, but I don't know. Maybe they were looking at some other area in the city, because the parking in our area is really very bad. And if you have anything at Westminster Church, like the MCO or the weddings or the graduations, people have to park all the way down almost to Ethelbert. So in my point is it's really a problem with the parking to have such a big, you know, density of people. I mean, a car share is nice, I guess, but what are the other, you know, 8 people going to do?
So. Any questions, anyone? Okay, thank you very much for coming down.
Thank you.
We have Jennifer Altemeyer. Would you like to come up?
Okay. Maybe one thing I'll do is provide a copy of what I submitted by email, and it's on the file. I have a copy of that for the applicant, so it doesn't really give him any time to review it. Would you like to take that over to him, Kate? And I also have a couple other things, too, that I found. I promised a copy of my list of lost affordable housing, and that... We're going to call that Appendix C. So that's for the applicant, and then these other things.
Would you like to sit down, and Jennifer?
Sure, I'll just get on.
Oh, of course.
Counselor, yeah. I want to be mindful that I don't have a lot of time for this, and I hope that the comments that I have provided, you know, the things that I have to say are being read in the first place, and that, you know, they're considered to be relevant concerns, and that they're going to be weighed in the balance of, you know, what is the total interest for any project, you know. But since we're here talking about this one tonight, I'm not as invested in it as I have been in some other things I've been hearing recently. So a few things that I'll just highlight from what I filed. My general comments falls into 2 categories of things that I have concerns about. The other delegate in opposition, I certainly respect and concur with her as an area resident, although I'm not a driver and I don't own a vehicle. I think having so few parking stalls in a building of this size does create additional pressures on people who have, you know, a longer-term history of living in the neighborhood and having parking for themselves or for guests and having to accommodate all the additional activity in the neighborhood. So I think those are valid concerns, and I'm glad that they were here to speak to that tonight. My personal objections is to do with the loss of the habitat of what greenery and plantings there are on that property, as well as the yard space, which I think is part of a transitional area, if you want to use the word transitional, or just a general ecological habitat zone that has been established in that part of the neighborhood for a very long time. And that the plantings that are in the yard and along the front of the fence are both attractive and pretty to look at, and they're also part of this important habitat bridge. So there's some more details about that in the information I sent via my email. So hopefully people will be having a look at that, as well as the selections that I've made from complete communities that talk about that it's the responsibility of the council and the decision makers in the city to weigh the balance and the interests of the non-human aspects of the population of the city that includes trees and includes wildlife, in addition to our interest in having a cleaner environment as a result of all the good work that these other species do for us. So I've got paragraph 21-22 on page 5 from Complete Communities. Trees on private properties and in parks. The tree canopy as a whole contributes to the health and wellness of the city, and is one of Winnipeg's defining characteristics. This valued resource should be managed in such a way as to ensure its place within the city today and long into the future. So, not only does this developer intend to ask for no landscaping on his property, he's going to remove all of the shrubbery that is along the front of the property, and I believe there used to be a lilac on the Westminster side inside his fence that I look now and it's not there anymore. So either it never was or it's already been removed. But because of the size of the building, he wants to put it within, I believe, 7 feet of the south boundary and 8 feet of the east boundary, which is facing onto Maryland. Those are the two significant changes where he's putting a bigger building than what he has right now. There's also a pair of pines. One is a very large evergreen, probably about 50 feet tall, and right at the southeast corner of 96 Maryland, there is an extremely tall elm tree. It's bigger than most of the boulevard trees. So all three of those trees are going to have roots that are extending into the yard space where he has the intention of digging deeply into the ground, you know, cutting through all those roots. It's going to damage, it imperils the trees when they do this. It's wrong. I don't think it should be allowed. I think it needs to be given more consideration. And I'm going to move on next to the issue of the loss of the affordable housing. So the planner, Michael Robinson, he says this is a detailed letter of intent, Appendix C, I believe, on the application. There's nothing there, or there's nothing in the report about what is going to be the price point of the new units, what people are paying for the units in the house now, if there is a serious problem with the house that is literally falling down, is it full of bed bugs? Like, what is the problem with the house that's there right now? Other than that, he believes, and probably correctly, he can get approval to knock that house down and put far more expensive housing there. If that's the only, you know, motivating factor, that's the prime motivating factor, I'd say that mitigates against approval because the affordable housing that's in there right now is serving a needed purpose, and for complete communities to go changing things around, they say it has to be in order to improve the affordability and expand the housing options in the neighborhood. So I don't think that with all of the other proposals and approvals that there's been through here lately for the neighborhood, that we really need to create any more high-end rental units. And with regards to people are going to use the bus, or they're going to be working at the hospital, nurses, doctors, things like that. Even just in general, these properties where they want to put housing that's right on these arterial roadways, I don't think people in the long term are really going to want to live there, especially professionals like doctors and nurses that work shift work, because they might have to come home and have 8 hours off, 12 hours off, and try and be asleep when there's a lot of noise happening. There's a lot of traffic. There's kids from school. There's kids from daycare. There's church bells twice a day, you know, 12, 6, every day of the week for half an hour straight on Sunday morning. I mean, you know, people, once they live there, might decide it wasn't such a good idea. So there's a couple other things I wanted to say. Most of the windows for these units are facing north onto Westminster. And this is kind of coming out in left field, from left field a bit, so I'm leaving it to last. But in terms of the way the house that's there now looks or is built, constructed, there's very few windows facing onto that, which I think is sensible for a house in that location. It gives them some separation from the activity on the street. But it also gives the people on the street a reasonable sense of security, that there aren't a whole bunch of people peeping down onto the road at them and watching them go about their daily business. Housing right on the corner, right at bus stops, it's very, very convenient and accessible. The builder suggests, I think, that it's safe. It's only safe in a one-way sense, if that's as far as you're going. And I think part of the detrimental aspect of that for community safety, especially with brand new residential development, is that people that are going there don't become familiar faces. to other people in the neighborhood. They don't, you know, you don't see the same people coming to and from work, walking past your door. It's harder to know who is a resident and who's not. So I think that's about all I want to say, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Anyone? Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Is there anybody else who...
Can I change my mind?
Yes, you can still come up and speak, for sure. Come on up.
Jim Palmquist, 48 Purcell. It was just something that was brought up by the proponent that I thought I would just throw some thoughts out. The car share program. Car shares are a developing idea in the city. He's proposing one for this unit. I don't know who would administer it. I don't know if he's given any details. Who administers it? If it's just for the residents in the building, there's a fee for that. There's a fee to belong to a car share program. Maybe they don't want it. Maybe they can't afford it. We don't know that at this stage. So I think there's a good chance, there's a chance that the car share program falls flat on its face after a couple of years. It disbands. They do away with it. They rent the stall out to somebody else. And the neighborhood is left with the increased parking issue. So, yeah, that's, I don't think the car share it's a good option. I like the idea, certainly. Yeah. But I just don't think it has to be a few more details.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we can get the planner to give us some more information that might answer some of those points, and just because in terms of explaining how it works, but how some of the questions you raised there.
Yes.
For consideration. But
okay.
Thanks for raising that. Anything else?
Nope.
Any questions, anyone? Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
All right. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak in opposition? Do we want to speak with the administration now, and then before we have the applicant come back? Sure. Go ahead, Cindy.
I wanted to ask a few more questions about the parking. They talked about a study. Can you tell us a little bit about the study that was done in the area?
Yeah, sure. I was referring to the Woseley Neighborhood Parking Study, which was prepared by the administration a few months ago. And we just wanted to see how much parking is available in the Woseley neighborhood, what the parking ratios are for multiple family development, and how much on-street parking is available in the area. And again, it's just a snapshot in time, so parking varies on a day-to-day basis, and we just went out at three different times, and three different days, different times of the day and night to see what the parking utilization was like. So again, it will vary. But what we found was that for in terms of the ratio of parking for multiple family development, excuse me for just a second, let me get my information here. Here we go. Okay. The parking ratio for multiple family in Woseley right now is 0.46 stalls per unit. 25 multiple family properties in the neighborhood have zero parking. Of properties with six or more units, 9% have off-street parking ratios of 1 to 1 or more. So it's a rarity to have one stall per unit. And 45% of all multiple family properties have ratios of 1 to 1 or more. So for smaller multiple family, it's more common to have one stall per unit or more, but for larger multiple family, it's less common. In terms of the parking utilization, we broke the neighborhood up into three sub areas, west, central, and east. This falls within the east sub area, and the overall on-street parking utilization is 62%. And again, this is just a snapshot in time. But we looked at each individual street, and we had different categories of parking utilization. But Westminster, which is the street that's closest to this property, has a utilization of between 0 and 39%, which means that there is some capacity available, at least at the times that the planners did the parking counts. And again, there are parking pressures in the neighborhood, and that's true for most you know, mature neighborhoods, especially ones that are close to hospitals and shops and things like that. But this study at least showed that there was some on-street capacity available. So with the combination of the on-street capacity, the transit that's close by, as well as the car share, we felt that the parking, the shortage of parking could be supported here.
Michael, maybe you could explain a bit more about the car share, just in terms of like how it's administered, how it's worked, who it's available to, and stuff like that, just
sure.
to answer some of the things that were raised.
The proposing to partner with the Peg City Car Co-op, which is an established car share company here in Winnipeg, a nonprofit. They have vehicles in most of the core neighborhoods around downtown, so they have vehicles in Osborne Village, they have vehicles in South Osborne area, and they're moving into this area. We've approved two projects already in this neighborhood with car share vehicles. This would be the third. The way it works is people pay a one-time membership fee. I think it's around $500, and Andrew's a member, so he can correct me if anything I say is wrong, but you pay a one-time $500 fee, and then you pay per time that you use the vehicle. So it's going to be available to everyone in the neighborhood. So that's one of the real exciting things about having a car share vehicle here, is it's not just for the residents of this property, but it's available to everyone who lives in the area. So there may be people who have a car right now who live, you know, within walking distance of the site, and they think, well, you know, maybe car share is an option for me. They could then sell their vehicle and use this. So there's positive spin-offs for the whole area from something like this.
Do they have to keep the car on site? Do they have to keep the car on site?
Oh, and they're required to keep the car on site as a condition of approval. It would have to remain on this site.
Any other questions? John?
I could ask later on, but the landscaping aspect, that has to come back to City Center Committee for approval in the end. There are two trees up the front, right at the, I'm not sure if they're on our property or on the applicant's property, but right on the line. What kind of landscaping requirements are required that we're talking about here? It says landscaping requirement, come back for landscaping. What kind of things are we looking at? I personally want to see those two trees stay there if possible. They are pretty small, and the type of tree does go down a bit better. But what can you give me an explanation? Because it is a kind of a hub corner there.
That's right.
That beautiful church. And
The treatment of this site, because it is a hub corner, is a larger build-out of the site. So the building will be close to the front property line. It'll be closer to the rear property line and closer to the side property line. Okay. So there isn't really too much opportunity for landscaping on this particular property. There's some opportunities for foundation landscaping, but no big trees or anything like that. There's those two pine trees that were mentioned, the evergreen trees. They are on the adjacent property on the far south end of that adjacent property. So they're at least 25 feet plus, there's a 7-foot side yard, so they're about 33 feet away from where the foundation will be, give or take.
All right, so I'll ask the applicant when they come back up about some landscaping options.
Okay. Thanks. Any other questions for the admin? Okay. Anyone here for information? Okay. Would the applicant like to come back, please? And speak in rebuttal or response to anything that was raised?
Sure. So this is the first time that I'm speaking here, so I'm a little bit nervous, but I'd like to thank everyone for coming up and voicing their opinions. It's always good to hear feedback. Well, the first issue that was brought up was the parking on the streets with the hospital there and stuff, and people are parking on the streets from hospital employees. Those are some of the challenges, and those issues were also brought up with at our open house. And one of the very nice points that Michael had made was that if your street is per cell, for example, you can actually apply to have 2-hour parking on that street to discourage anyone that's parking there long term that, you know, shouldn't be there and stuff. So that's actually a process that you can go through for that. The issue of the trees, we came across something similar with 54 Maryland, and I had met actually with I don't remember his name yet, but we went for coffee and we talked about trees. And the main issue was that we wanted to make sure that we're on the same page. We don't plan on touching any of the trees. And the thing with our development is that there's no underground digging. So we're not digging a basement or anything like that. It's just at grade. So we're not trying to go after the roots of the trees or anything like that. And the other thing is that the city department that looks after trees looks at them very closely and does site visits before, during, and after the construction to determine if there is any damage. And we have an open communication to discuss any issues. For example, if branches need to be cut, which there are no trees that were touched on 54 Million, so simple, and we expect to do the same thing here. So. Now, the other question is with landscaping, that we do intend on doing at ground landscaping for in front of the building for aesthetic appeal. So that will definitely be there, and I believe plan approval will look through that process. Yeah. So, but when it comes to planting large trees, again, that's not something that's on our agenda. However, if the city ever wanted to do something, and through their department, that's at their discretion.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm hoping to see, when you come back, those two trees that are there, I hope they stay there. Again, you'll
for sure
do that, and try to green it up with some shrubberies or whatever you can when you come back, and that's what I'll be looking at when your design comes back.
And so those trees are on the neighboring property, so we won't.
No, there's two right on the front property line. The evergreens are on the neighbor's property.
Yep.
There's two.
Yeah.
Right on the on your property line,
yeah,
or the city's right up front.
For sure. So I think, visited this site, that fence, have you seen it? Like the fence has kind of fallen over and stuff like that. So there's no intention on touching anything because the construction is 8 feet back.
Yes.
Right? So there's no need for us to kind of go and try to clear up the land or anything like
just
that.
Just want to make sure you're aware. Yeah. That'd be my hope.
And we will try our best to during the construction process to encourage all the trades to respect the natural environment, which we intend on doing on 54 Maryland too. We just kind of keep an eye on them to make sure the cranes or anything don't hit. So that was the tree issue. Then the other thing I think was the general construction. Current zoning does allow for us naturally to do construction, and what we're doing with rezoning is just altering that construction, so we could do construction today on that site if it was necessary or anything. Are there any other questions or anything like that?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
So, we can't start having another.
If you have any questions, I can answer them after the meeting.
Go ahead.
So moved that the recommendations of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred and that and not be, sorry, be concurred in and
the report be taken as read as the first item.
Okay, sorry guys, I'm still new at this.
Sorry.
Okay, I haven't had many of this come in yet. Okay, that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read.
All those in favor, any opposed, carried.
Aye.
And that the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor.